You've never heard of them. You won't see them bronzed up on a Sunset Strip billboard or chasing 20-something models on Love Island. When they get free drink tickets on an airplane, you bet your ass they fucking use them. It's Two Guys, One Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Ron Alleman and Brian Harris.
Ron the Owl Alleman. God, those fucking chops, man.
Dude, you like that?
Dude, it's fucking next level.
For everyone that doesn't know, that's me on the guitar.
God damn, you're talented.
It's pretty good.
I knew you had a talent, but Jesus, you just laid that down and, you know, going on are we almost a year into this thing?
Yeah, I mean, we're in season 3. So 26 episodes, 30, we're approaching a year.
God, way to breathe some new energy into the intro with just laying down those fucking tracks. And who knows where this leads to? Maybe eventually, you know, you can gig out like Two Guys, One Podcast. Like, would you be comfortable sitting on a bar stool and playing, you know, on request, playing songs from our listening audience out there?
I would be super comfortable doing that. I think that's a great idea. Maybe that we base a show around that. I do have to give some props, though, to our mutual friend Milo Johnson for Mishke. But Milo's the one that brought over, or I think I had just bought some rickety ass guitar when I was 16 years old. So we're talking like over 20 years ago.
Yeah, maybe. Well over 20 years. Yeah. Carry on.
And he came over, and so I bought an electric guitar, but I did not buy the amplifier. So here I am, I'm strumming this.
Yeah, that's...
But it worked. So, and he taught me how to play Poison, Talk Dirty to Me. Like, and that was it. And now check it out. And now I'm live on Spotify with my own jam.
Did you snare a bunch of chicks with that riff?
You got to take advantage of that while you can. So yeah, I used to walk around the streets of Portage with this electric guitar strapped to my back with no amplifier and just say, "Hey ladies, check this out." Yeah.
Did you have a mullet?
Yeah, had the mullet.
God damn.
So my hair's a little curly, so I had to explain the mullet a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was just like a big bush in the back. I'd be like, "What's going on back there?" They thought maybe like was carrying like a little squirrel on the back of my neck. And I'm like, no, this actually is a mullet. Check out what happens when it gets wet. And then it kind of gets a little longer. So,
you know what, man? I got to say, I missed all of the rites of passage instruments to court the ladies. I mean, one, the sport I picked was tennis, as you know.
Right.
No one gives a shit about that. It's not like the high school quarterback vibe where, you know, girls want to be on your arm because you're the coolest kid in town. No, I was... the tennis player. From a musical perspective, my only foray into that was I played the snare drum in the band, and I was last chair. And listen, the ladies aren't lighted up to hear the snare drum player, you know, in the band. So
last chair snare, though, that could be a hashtag, bro. I think you missed
last
out.
Chair snare.
Last chair snare, dude. That's a new hashtag. Bring
actually,
that back.
Now that you say it like that, I think it's pretty cool. Actually,
well, you know, hashtagging didn't exist back then. But I think you had something.
No, that was before the interwebs.
Listen, man, don't be so self-deprecating here. You are a hell of a tennis player. You are a pro instructor in Los Angeles, California, Playboy Mansion. You're in Playboy Magazine, featured article about you. And you were number one doubles, and you were number 11th athlete in 1993 spring at Purdue University. So...
for that 1 week.
Yeah, it's a 1 week thing, man. It's great. It's fantastic.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks for bullying me on this. And
last chair snare.
Yeah, last chair snare. And we're going to get into some more self-deprecating talk in a little bit. But before we do, man, let's we have to get into the tournament, right? Have you been glued to the TV like I have, man? It's just so good to have live sports back. I probably watched 20 hours of basketball this weekend.
Yeah. No, it's been great. I'll tell you what, though. I think that Big Ten tournament was phenomenal. Incredible tournament. Lots of great games. And now this NCAA. Let me tell you something. This is probably the first time, and I can't remember how many years, I have not done a bracket. I don't know why. I got my usual invites like on online, CBS Sports, and I declined them. And I'm fucking glad I did, dude, because I, like everyone else, would have been on the cutting room floor with this thing. I think they had is this now the most double-digit teams advancing from the Sweet 16?
Is that right? Crazy. You've got Oral Roberts in there. You've got Loyola Chicago in there. You've got Abilene Christian playing again today.
Northern Texas.
North Texas.
Are they playing today? Yeah.
Just to spend a minute on that, I mean, obviously you and I are both loyal to our alma mater, Purdue, and I took Gavin to the game. We went downtown.
Oh, wow, okay.
A little bit eerie situation, 25% capacity, but, you know, at the same time, it was a pretty relaxed vibe, you know, pretty easy to get in and out of there. We parked right next to Lucas Oil, easy to get your beers on. That aside, man, in the post-game conversation on the way home, I just once again implored Gavin. I said, Gavin, this is your chance, man. You feel that dull pang of disappointment rising up within you?
Yeah.
I said, for me as a Purdue fan, that is as familiar to me as oxygen, man.
As breathing.
We can never fucking win anything. And I said to Gavin, it's a statistical miracle with how many years Purdue has been around in Division I athletics. Ron, we never win shit, man.
We don't win shit.
We never do. I said, Gavin, now is your time. You can make a change. I won't hate on you for doing so. And he said, Dad, shut up. But what I think he meant to say in his teenage way was, I understand where you're coming from, but you know, it's just, are we ever in our lifetime going to get over the hump, man? I mean, how many times do you bang your head against the wall before you realize you're just getting a fucking headache?
And I'm not going to lie. I think the last time I was cheering my head off for Purdue was when Brees took us to that Outback Bowl. And what year was that? Was that 98?
I remember that, yep. I remember that.
And just to make it to the Outback Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, I forget what our record was that year, but it wasn't good.
What about 2 years ago when all we had to do was sink a free throw and we're going to the Final Four, right? That game against Virginia.
Yeah.
And you know, remember that movie Fever Pitch where who is it that's in that? It's
John Cusack?
No. Late night talk show host.
Nicolas Cage.
No. Not Jimmy Kimmel, the other one.
Jimmy Fallon,
yeah. He's in his apartment and he's continuing to watch like the Buckner game from the Red Sox and the ball goes through his legs. They have all the curtains drawn. They're like,
it wasn't just Buckner. Stanley screwed him. He didn't cover first.
Where'd you get this?
I don't remember.
Don't lie to me. Right? Do you have any more of these? Huh? Where's your stash? Ben, this isn't helping you. You understand that? This solves nothing.
That's what I do with that clip from the Virginia game, man. Yeah. Sometimes I'll just watch it over and over again because I can't believe that that's how that went down. We were so close to making the Final Four. I think that was our chance. And then North Texas, man. I mean, those guys could not fucking miss. I think they shot 48% from the field, 45% from behind the arc. That
crazy.
Only happens to Purdue.
It really does. But, I mean, that's what it kind of takes. I think, you know, you caught us off guard, caught us on our heels. You're not expecting this from North Texas. And then, you know, you're not prepared. This is like, you know, Mike Tyson getting his ass kicked by Buster Douglas. Like, what you been doing? How have you been preparing for this big fight? And there's no preparation, and we let it slip through our fingers like that. I mean, long story short, were we going to win the fucking tournament, Purdue? No. But it would have been nice to get past the first fucking round.
Yeah, that would have been nice. And, you know, just the cherry on top was, as I said, it was 25% capacity.
Yeah.
About 20 of that 25% were flanking right to our left, and it was all the fans from North Texas.
Mm.
And these guys were all hillbillied out, you know, and hawing the whole game. At one point, I said to Gavin, I think they're in the wrong building. I think they wanted to make their way down to Baker's Life for the cow tipping competition.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there was a lot of yeehaws and, you know,
from Texas
carrying on. And I got nothing for them, man. They just absolutely beat us down. We had that really nice comeback to send it into OT, and then we didn't score a single fucking point in the first 2 minutes of overtime.
Let me tell you what happened. I was at my mother-in-law's house and watching the game, and I was in the front room, and no one else really was caring about the first round of Purdue. So I kind of ended up watching most of the game by myself. When that game went into overtime, I got off the couch and went to the kitchen. And I said, no, this is...
Yeah, we're not, you just knew, right?
I could just feel it. I'm like, I don't want to watch overtime. And if we win, I'll have another game to watch. But I really don't think we're going to get out of this one alive. It just didn't feel like we couldn't get that rhythm. We couldn't get that flow. I couldn't feel the momentum going. But, man, it is what it is. And now... I am. I've got one team left with any skin in the game. My nephew goes to Loyola, and they had a great win, over Illinois yesterday. I got some friends that cheer pretty hard for Illinois. So sorry, guys, but Ramblers. Let's see what happens, man.
They were impressive yesterday, man. Like so I said, I think I watched pretty much every game this weekend, and they look good, man.
That was
and now
great.
They have a matchup with Oregon State, so you're gonna have one 12 team getting to the. Get to the Elite Eight. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
It's just good to have sports back, man.
It is.
So, in toggling on from there, I mentioned I wanted to get into some more self-deprecation here. And I want to sort of talk you through a recent journey that started this morning, right?
Okay.
And it's predicated on the fact that, as you know, going into the tail end of last year, as one indication of this, if you remember, I was on the burrito challenge, right?
Yes, absolutely. You killed me.
I think I ended up hitting the number, which is 50 burritos by year's end. Is that?
I think you were over that. You were going. You were shooting for the moon, and what happened was you ended up among the stars.
Yeah, well, I guess that's one way to look at it. But
on the roof.
As a byproduct of the burrito challenge and other things, you know.
Yeah.
Massive amounts of beer. No exercise.
Zero.
What I've started to notice is that in the last month or so, as we all go through, maybe on some level, I can't fucking fit into anything. I put on a shirt the other day, man, and it looked like I looked at myself in the mirror. And you know those illustrations from Dr. Seuss? We talked about Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
I look like a fucking Who from Whoville, man. I mean, my Whoville. Shit is just hanging out all over the place.
Totally.
I literally need to go to like a 2XL. So I finally said last night to Amanda, who's actually inspired me because she's on the track too and is doing well, working out every day and all this. I'm like, okay, tomorrow is it. I'm going to buckle down. So last night I had my final hurrah, drank like 10 beers, ate a late night pizza. Wanted to go into this. Having that last moment. So day one, wake up this morning, time to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Have my first weigh-in.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And I've been afraid of that scale.
You don't have to share if you don't want to.
No, I'm going to.
I will
it's
tell
part
you this,
of my
though,
therapy.
I mean, you can't be the biggest loser if you got nothing to lose.
Exactly. Thank you for
that's
that.
Your mentality.
That's inspiring.
There we go. Write that down.
So I step up on that scale. It gives a big, loud, like, sigh of pain, like, ugh,
skill.
I step on that thing. And, brother, when I was at my fighting weight, I was 190.
190, damn. That's pretty good.
So that's, I guess, the goal. I'm here to tell you that scale this morning read 238. 238 pounds, my man. 238.
All right, 238. Okay.
238. So, as I started to size up on my way to the gym, I got to drop 50 lbs. And I was just sort of run through this with you. Here's some other things that you may be familiar to you that weigh 50 pounds. So, this is what I'm trying to lose. Okay,
here we go.
$1,000 worth of quarters.
Ooh.
A small... like dorm-style refrigerator.
Okay.
An entire bag of potatoes.
A sack of potatoes.
A small-size mattress.
Okay.
An average male bulldog.
Yeah.
A fucking seven-year-old. An average seven-year-old. So I have to lose an entire seven-year-old child.
Yeah.
I mean, are you fucking kidding me, man?
Here's what I'm going to tell you right now. Everyone's going through what you're going through. I feel like a lot of people are going through this, and I had the same conversation.
I'm fat as fuck.
Okay, well, that's your call. I'm looking at you. I'm not seeing that. When I look at you, I don't see that. But to each his own, because you know what you're comfortable with and I know what I'm comfortable with. And let me tell you something. There's nothing more pathetic. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me and my other friends. Nothing more pathetic than two fat guys telling each other how to live a healthy lifestyle. You'll be sitting there in the middle of eating pizza and drinking beer, and someone brings up, oh man, I gotta lose weight. And next thing you know, here we go. 30 minutes. Oh, bro, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you gotta exercise, you gotta drink the green juice. You know, don't eat past 7. It's all about the intermittent fasting, you know. And we have all the great advice, and look at us. We got spaghetti stains on our t-shirts. You know, and I'm at the point with you too. Okay, like, it's kind of like you. Once you get to a certain size, you refuse to buy that size t-shirt because you just won't do it. Like, I will never buy a double X, right? I'd rather I'd rather have an XL with my belly popping out the bottom of the shirt, my man tits popping out, okay? My face turning red because the crew cow is choking me out, all right? But that's where it's going to be, all right? So... But I hear you, man. Now is the time. And hey, you know, look, man, it's been a fucking rough year. Don't be so hard on yourself. And now it's springtime. It's a lot easier to get out and maneuver. My thing is, and I told my fucking wife, you know, I'm here at home. You know, I'm trying to get my restaurant off the ground and get it rolling. Once I get that done, I'll be okay because I am home with my refrigerator beckoning me all day fucking long. You know, if I'm making a sandwich for the kids, you know, I'm one to that's known to lick the remaining peanut butter off of the fucking spoon. You know what I mean? So there you go. But I think we know what it takes. Bottom line, you got to burn more calories than you put in your body every fucking day, and it's a marathon. You know what I mean? So don't be hard on yourself. I think make the small changes now, and don't expect this to happen. Sounds cliche. It's not gonna happen tomorrow, right? So give yourself some time. Give yourself fucking 6 months and see where you are. I guarantee you're going to be a lot better position than you are now. And hopefully all of us are.
You know, that's good advice. And I appreciate the pep talk there. I'll tell you one other interesting factoid from day one of the journey is I went to the gym this morning.
Oh, that's awesome. There you go.
When I decided, having been through this many times before, that if I push myself too hard on day one, I'm just going to burn out and never go back. 100%. So I decided, okay, I'm going to run a mile. Run a fucking mile, right?
Okay. Right?
And I hop on the old treadmill, and I start running, you know. And when you're on the treadmill, what you try not to do, or at least what I try not to do, is continually look down to see how far I've gone because you'll be depressed, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Running along, I look down, I've gone less than a tenth of a mile. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? That's all I've done so far? And at the same time that this is happening, I start to feel this incredible tingling sensation in my big fucking gut. We're like this blood circulation that hasn't really happened there in months.
Yeah.
It's just like fucking tingling, like so hardcore. And I'm like, yeah. Jesus Christ, this is gonna be a long road. I made it the full mile, which is no great feat, but you know, afterwards, and Gavin went with me, he's a soldier on this, and
yeah.
I went over to Gavin. I'm like, Gavin, because Gavin's lifting weights while I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. I walk over to Gavin, and Gavin's like, you done already? I was like, yeah. He's like, well, I got a little bit more to do. I'm like, all right, well, take your time, man. I'm just going to be, you know.
Yeah, you're going to take a shower.
Knowing about the gym.
Take a sauna.
You know?
Yeah.
Gavin's like, you know, one rotation into his three rotation set, and I'm already ready to head to the car, you know?
Yeah.
It's like fucking 11 minutes later.
Well, that's day one, man. You're so right, because when you get out there, you know, if you haven't worked out in a while, your body kind of likes it, and it fools you, because you'll be going at it, you're like, hey, I can do this. You have a little bit of endurance, and then next thing you know, the next day, you can't fucking move.
Well, and now, I mean, it's like every day that passes by and we get further down, you know, Father Time is chasing us down like a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
The other day I walked upstairs, just normal, you know, I have a two-story house. I walked up to the second flight of stairs and I had to grab the railing. And I was like,
yeah,
why am I so fucking winded right now? I wasn't carrying anything but my own fucking 7-year-old extra person that I'm carrying around.
Yeah, a little 7-year-old strapped to your back.
That's what it's like. I got a fucking 7-year-old
potatoes,
on my back.
Man. Fuck.
Small refrigerator. That was the one that really hit me. Like a small, you know, the dorm style refrigerator.
Yeah.
Fucking carry that thing around all day long.
That's heavy.
Yep.
Well, you know.
So anyway, man, I'll keep you posted. I am going to just go ahead and reveal here on Two Guys, One Podcast, though, that unfortunately we've got a lot of fan mail about this. The 2021 burrito challenge is currently on hold.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
It's currently on hold.
I think it's a good idea.
Maybe we'll have the 2021 kale challenge.
Let's do the kale challenge, man. That sounds good. I like that. In fact, okay, so here is something that this fat guy decided I'm going to start doing. I won't take much time here. But as you know, I like to cook a lot at home, right? So I cook. My problem is, and I think a lot of most people do this, I think, is whenever you plan meals, you base your meal around the protein, if you're a meat eater. So my thing that I told my wife I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start basing my meal around vegetables. So like Monday, it's broccoli. Tuesday, it's cauliflower. Wednesday, it's Brussels sprouts. Thursday, it's whatever. And then when you get to the weekend, okay, now we can have our fucking whatever we want to eat and whatever, and then get back onto it during the week. And if you do that, I think, you know, you just got to watch the carbs, whatever. But for me, I'm thinking like more like heart healthy eating too. But just getting those vegetables in. So if you can do that, I think you're going to cut down on a lot of bad stuff too, because the sodium is also bad for gaining weight. But that's my thing. I'm going to start doing that. I haven't weighed myself. I know I'm up there. In my fighting weight, when my wife met me, when I was in, I think, the best shape of my life was after college, I was around 178.
God damn, you were svelte.
So that's my, but I'm a stocky guy, right? Like and if you look at the chart, you should weigh this much. I'm 5'8". I think I need to weigh 155 pounds. There's no fucking way. There's just no way.
I don't think I could ever get down to that.
Yeah. So I'd be happy. Listen, I'm gonna be happy weighing 185. That's my goal. Let's see how I look and how I feel at 185. I think at the moment I'm around 210, so we're talking about 25 pounds. Yeah, so you know,
you can get there, man.
For sure.
I mean, I almost went to the extent of taking a before and after shot, but I was so disgusted at myself looking at myself in the mirror, I couldn't even bring myself to take a before shot.
Dude, it takes fucking balls. Some people will take a before shot and post it that day.
No, God no.
I mean, you're putting yourself up. Really on blast. You put yourself out there. What if you gain more weight? Like, hey, this is when I was skinny.
Before and after. The after is worse than the before.
Yeah. Okay. All right, man. So, like, one last thing, though. Before we cut out, I do have some viewer questions here.
Fan mail.
You've got mail.
Fan mail. Do you have an audio fan to mail. Play for the fan mail? Fan mail.
Yeah, I do. I'll find something for that.
Mail call. Mail call.
Mail call.
All right, here we go. Coming from Christopher Myers out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, what is a Cowboys fan's advice to a Bears fan as to what to expect from Andy Dalton?
Okay.
Aside from mediocrity, as chimed in by a friend of the show, DC Collins.
Yeah, I think, you know, not to be an antagonist to gingers out there, but he's a ginger, so he's only going to take you so far, and that's all I can really tell you about that. Andy Dalton was serviceable at certain points in the season last year. As everyone knows, all the haters out there failed to get us to the playoffs, and I think he's obviously on big time on the downslope of his career, and he wasn't all that great to begin with, so if you're a Bears fan, I wouldn't really hang your hopes on Andy Dalton taking you to the promised land. That ain't going to happen.
Well, as a Bears fan, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know why Andy Dalton would want to come here and play. This team is okay, here's another question, which is going to actually answer what I was about to say. What other professional sports team has a more incompetent front office than the Chicago Bears? And that's from Ryan Porter. But, I mean, that's what it is. I think Kyle Long just left, right? Or I mean, someone signed with I forget who he signed with. But, I mean, Jesus Christ, it's ridiculous. How can Dalton play and be an effective QB without an offensive line protecting him? It's going to be
ridiculous.
Well,
he's not the most nimble guy in the world. We know that. Be the guy to scramble and create, you know, on his own. So he's probably going to spend a lot of time on his back, something you're familiar with.
Yeah, on my back. You know, well, that's my favorite position. Let them do all the work, you know what I'm saying? but I digest. Dalton, was this like his 12th year now? His 12th year in the league, something like that?
Something like that. I mean, he was an MVP for like 1 year.
Dude, he's Pro Bowler, I think, 2 or 3 years. I mean, the guy's solid. He has a solid resume, but I mean, come on. You know, if we're going to rebuild, you can't rebuild with this type of QB. I think we're putting money in the wrong area. But what the fuck do I know? I don't know shit. So,
and let's not let it go unnoticed that the one sending the question, which ultimately leads to some more abuse of the Bears, is a diehard Packers fan. So,
yeah,
no surprise that's coming from Chris Myers. We know him to be a longtime Packers fan.
Yeah, Packers fan from Shelbyville, Indiana.
Fucking Packers. I think fucking we can all Packers. Agree that we all hate the Packers, though.
Yeah, fuck Green Bay.
Yeah. In complete agreement there.
Green Bay sucks.
Yep. All right, what else we got? All right. Fan
mail, that's about it for this week, I think. We'll get some more next week, but aside from that, I'm done.
All right, that's good. Thanks for the questions. Keep them coming out there.
Keep them coming.
We're only an email, text, or phone call away. And
yeah, DM.
Round the clock, you know, DM us, message us. Snapchat us.
Well, I'm not on Snapchat.
TikTok us.
TikTok, there you go.
Fax us.
Fax. AOL.
Write us a letter. Drop us a note in the mail.
That would be so nice. Let's get like a nice.
I'd like to get a handwritten
letter.
If someone's out there and wants to write us a handwritten letter, I promise you it will get airtime.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a minute. I don't remember the last time I licked a stamp.
Is that still a thing?
Licking stamps.
Yeah.
You gotta lick a stamp, brother.
Where do you get a stamp?
Grocery store? Roller rink? Gas station?
It's been a long time since I've licked said stamp, but.
Well, maybe that's part of the problem.
are stamps low calorie? Is that low carb?
They're anti-calorie.
Okay.
If you lick enough stamps, you're gonna lose a little bit of weight, I promise.
All right, well. With that in mind, I think I'm going to go eat some fucking kale or something.
There we go.
All right, peeps. We're out. Two Guys, One Podcast.
Out again.
It's Two Guys, One Podcast.